the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by John in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one, the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and the angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Well, this is God's word to us tonight. Let's pray and ask for God's help, and we'll have a think about these words together. God, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for the Bible. We thank you that it is your word to us. And we pray, please, that you would speak to us tonight. Help us to see afresh why Jesus is good news. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, this evening, I simply want to give our attention to two words that we read in these opening verses that we read. You'll see them in Mark chapter 1 and verse 1, big one, and then the words that follow, the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. The two words, boys and girls, this is on your sheet if you're following along, the two words are these, good news. That's all I want us to think about tonight, good news. News. In fact, actually, it's a bit of a cheat because in the original language, it's just one word. It's an ancient Greek called euangelion. It is a word that means to announce something that changes everything. I guess lots of us turn up to church tonight and we are longing for some good news right now. Isn't that true? Everything we turn on at the moment, our phones, when we get the news feed, the TV screen with the news, you grab a newspaper, what is it? It's bad news, isn't it? Bad news that seems to be affecting everything. The coronavirus, trade deals that are going wrong, celebrities dying. We're surrounded by bad news. And we're probably just thinking, please somebody just chuck me something. Chuck me just a little bit of good news, just something that is good. And I want to say to you, well, if that's how you feel, just slightly, if you're engaging with all that's going on in this world, then I want to say to you, help is at hand. Because this book, this ancient book of Mark, is an announcement, a heralding of some good news. Now, we kind of hear the word good news in different ways, don't we? For many of us, we might think of trivial good news. Like when we're driving down the A10, my kids will say, "Dad, the hot light's on at Krispy Kreme Donuts." Now that's good news for us as a family. Well, it's not good news for me because I can't eat wheat, but it's good news for the children because it means they might give you a free donut if you go in. That's good news, but that's trivial good news that kind of impacts you locally. But then there's world-changing, life-transforming good news. News that affects everything. And that is what this good news is. That is what this ancient Greek word, euangelion, means. Life-changing, world-transforming news. The ancient Greeks used to use this word to announce something significant. The end of a war. The arrival or the birth of a king. So if we were to go to the ancient Greek city of Priene, they found there a giant stone inscribed with a calendar. And it's just an example of the way this word was used. This word we translate good news. Written on this stone was the good news that Caesar Augustus, there's a name that some of us might know, it's the good news that Caesar Augustus had come to power. And his rule, his reign, was supposedly good news for everyone. Because it would bring peace and it would bring salvation to the people of the land. That's what you found written on this stone. That's how they used it. Good news. Not that the hot light's on at Krispy Kreme, but something that affects everyone. Something that changes the world. In a similar way, what you hold in your hands tonight, what we are going to spend our Sunday evenings looking at, Mark is announcing to us good news. Not the hot lights on at Krispy Kreme, but euangelion, this word that changes everything, world-changing, life-transforming good news, news that means nothing is the same after it, news that changes the calendar, news that does something awesome in our world. And I want you to notice, just look with me at the Bibles, Mark chapter 1, verse 1. What does he say? This is the beginning of this good news. This is the commencement of it. This is the start. The implication for us is that this continues to be good news today. If this is the start of it, it is still good news for us sitting here in Enfield on a Sunday evening. This is an announcement, a good news announcement. That affects everybody and everything. And so that means it's good news for me. It's good news for you. It's good news for anyone that lives in this world. This is an announcement of something that changes everything. And what I want to do this evening, just with our time, is I want to just say, well, okay, Mark, we're going to spend a whole term looking at this book of Mark, but what do we learn about this good news just from these opening verses, these opening stories from the book of Mark? And here's the first thing I want us to see. It is good news about Jesus. There's a blank on your sheets, kids, if you've got one in front of you. It is good news about Jesus. Just look again at chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. At the very center of this announcement of good news stands a person, and his name is Jesus. He is the good news. He is at the very center of this news that changes everything in this world. Mark wastes no time in getting us straight to the heart of who Jesus is. Now, for lots of us, we might be sitting in this room and saying, well, I know who Jesus is because that's why I'm in church. But just take time to listen to what Mark wants you to know. Why is this man, Jesus, at the very center of this good news? And if Jesus is new to you and you're thinking, well, why has this man, Jesus, changed everything? Why do so many people around this world follow this man? Why has he even changed our calendars, AD, BC? Why has he changed it? Well, Mark gets us straight to the heart of why by telling us who he is. Look at what he says. First of all, he is the Messiah. Do you see that, verse 1? He's the good news about Jesus, the Messiah. Now, you've got a little footnote there. Adults, if you've got your Bible, you'll see there's a little letter. If you go down the bottom, Messiah and Christ are the same word. So maybe you've heard of Jesus Christ, not heard the word Messiah. They're the same word in different languages, and it simply means he is the anointed one. Now, that's not his family name. It wasn't that he was born to Joseph Messiah and Mary Messiah, and they had a little son called Jesus the Messiah. My family name's Nathan Howard, and it wasn't, excuse me, it wasn't his family name. It's actually a description of his title. It's a description of who he is. It's a description of what he came to do. In the Old Testament, in the large bit of the Bible that leads up to Mark's gospel, if someone was anointed, if they had been anointed, that means sometimes visibly that oil would be poured on their head, that means they were set apart by God to do a particular task. Now, often those tasks would be to lead people, or they would have a task to save people from an enemy. Or they would have a task of teaching people. If you go through and you look at all the times that people are anointed, that is what the anointed ones would do. And it particularly, by the time that Jesus came into this world, it particularly had come to talk about the kings, the great kings of the Old Testament, in their role of leading the people, in their role of saving the people. The famous kings of the Bible, like David, famous kings like Solomon. And what we're being told here by Mark straight away as he announces this good news, this euangelion, he wants us to know that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the King. He's the anointed one. He's the one who'd come into this world to do a very particular job that God had set him apart to do for us. That great work of a king. That great work of rescuing people, that great work of leading people, that great work of setting an example to the people of what it looks like to follow God. His birth, his rule, and his reign are good news. Now we're going to come to the details of why that's good news, but it is Jesus the Messiah. But then Mark shows us something else. It's not just that he's the king. Look at how it goes on. He is the Son of God. Now, I guess as you pick apart the scriptures, many of us may be confused by that title, the Son of God. What does he mean? But I want to just put it right out there and say that what he means is that Jesus is very nature God. He is God. Now, there is a lot of confusion about that, isn't there? If you've had anyone ever knock on your door, if a Jehovah's Witness comes to the door, they will tell you that he wasn't really God. Or the Mormons might tell you the same. If you've ever had any good friends who worship under the Muslim faith, they will tell you, well, Jesus isn't God. He's not divine. He's simply a prophet. You know, yes, he was given power by God. There's a lot of confusion about, well, what does it mean that he's the Son of God? But Mark, and I want to show you this very quickly, Mark wastes no time in getting us to see that he truly is God, by very nature God. See, just have a look with me how he goes on. Jesus is God coming into this world. See, look how Mark goes. The beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. Mark wants us to see by using this ancient promise from Isaiah that Jesus is God himself coming into this world. Just have a look at that little phrase, prepare the way for the Lord. If we were to thumb back to the book of Isaiah tonight, we would discover that that is a promise of God that the Lord, God himself, would come to this world. He would be coming to his people. So Mark's not wanting us to see, well, he kind of might be like a son of God, but not really God. No, Mark wants us to see straight away that Jesus truly is God. God coming into this world. And then he goes on to tell the story. Look at verse 4. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John is the voice preparing the way for God. John is the voice getting people ready for this coming of God. And now look how he describes the one coming after him. Verse 7. And this was his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. John's getting people ready for who? Well, a powerful one. One so powerful that John's not even worthy to take off his shoes. But listen to what he's telling us. Jesus is God in sandals. Jesus is God coming into this world in sandals to be one of us. Jesus is God coming to this world. And that is a voice that is confirmed to us, isn't it? Verse 11. So Jesus appears. You see the link? The voice preparing the way. Who then turns up? Who comes right after John in the story? Look at verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth. And at the baptism of Jesus, this great story we read together, we get a voice from heaven, verse 11, confirming the identity of Jesus. You are my son whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. You see the point? Jesus is God, the Messiah, the God who wore sandals because he was coming to his people. That's what Mark wants us to know. He wants us to know that Jesus is God come to us. And so the first thing we have to know about this announcement, this good news, this euangelion, is it's about Jesus. It's about this Jesus, the Messiah, the King that God had set apart to do a task. This Messiah who is God himself come to his people. Here's the second thing, boys and girls, this is on your sheet. It's good news. But I want to show you that it's good news for people living in the wilderness. This good news announcement is for people living in the wilderness. These opening stories take place in the Judean desert, in the wilderness. So just have a look with me. Scan an eye down if you've got your Bibles there. Verse 3, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. And then verse 4, and so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness. And then you've got Jesus coming, and verse 12, at once they sent Jesus, the Spirit sent Jesus out into the wilderness. And then again in verse 13, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days. All these stories, real life stories, take place in the Judean desert. Now, you don't have to be interested in geography, but that lies to the east of Jerusalem. And it kind of descends down into the Dead Sea. And if you ever want to go there, you can go and wander around this desert. And like most wildernesses, it is pretty barren, it is pretty lifeless, and it is largely uninhabited. It was a pretty sparse place. And yet, this is the place that God chooses to come and announce his good news. Isn't that odd? You know, if you were going to go on a big marketing campaign, where might you pick to go and announce your good news? Wouldn't you pick somewhere where people were? Wouldn't you pick somewhere like a city? Wouldn't you go to Google's headquarters and say, listen, I've got something that's really good news and I want to let everybody know about it? Why does God pick the wilderness to come into and to announce good news? You see, look at verse 3. The voice of one calling in the wilderness. When God comes, when God in sandals arrives, where's he going to be? In the wilderness. Why? Because the wilderness, friends, is a very good picture of our world. The wilderness captures something of the problem that God, the Lord Jesus, came into this world to fix. You see, if I say wilderness to you, what do you think of? You can answer something. That's not a rhetorical question. What do you think of if I say wilderness? What's that, sorry? Dryness, yeah. Hot, snakes. I've seen enough David Attenborough shows. I've never been to a desert, but I've seen enough David Attenborough shows to think I know what I'm talking about. You know, maybe a bit of tumbleweed or something. It's a pretty barren place. But in the days of Jesus, and to the people that lived around this area, if I had said the word wilderness, do you know what they would have thought of? They would have thought of a story in the Old Testament. A story where God made this group of people wander in a wilderness for 40 years. It was a place where they found themselves because they hadn't loved God as they should. It was a place where they found themselves wandering because they had failed God. They failed to trust him. They'd failed to love him. And then as they wandered in this wilderness, it was a place of great sin. It was a place of testing God, a place of failing to trust God. And in this wilderness, this place of sin, being under the punishment of God, we have a picture of the world that we live in. the desperate state of this world that we live in. You see, like the people who wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, we're in a mess. We're wandering because we have sinned against God. We've not loved God as we should. We've not taken his word seriously. We've not trusted him as we should. And it's into this wilderness that God comes to help. That God sends Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, to help us out of the wilderness, to bring us back to God. You see, wandering in the wilderness, you're left thinking, well, God, is there any way back to you? God, we've let you down here. Is there any way back? And that's why this begins to be good news. Look at verse 4. And so John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John comes and he prepares people. God's coming. God in sandals is coming. And he says there's a way to be forgiven. There's a way to be restored to him. There's a way back to God from the wilderness, from this place where we are because we've sinned against God. I don't know tonight, maybe you're feeling that wilderness sense of your life. Maybe you're feeling the wilderness sense of our world, a world that has sinned against God, a world that is wandering around, a world that's trying to live without God. Maybe you're feeling a personal sense of, oh man, is there any way back to God? I've really let him down. God is not pleased with me. And I want to say to you this evening, whether you're young here or whether you're older here, if that is how you feel, then you need to hear this good news, this announcement of good news. Because Jesus comes into the wilderness, into this place of sin, into this place that we are because we've let God down. And what does he do? Verse 9, he comes and he is baptized. Now, that may be a head scratcher because John's busy saying, oh, you know, this is about forgiveness of sins. And those of us that perhaps have any knowledge about Jesus are thinking, well, why does he get baptized? I thought he was perfect. But he comes because he comes into the wilderness and he stands shoulder to shoulder with people like us who should be in the wilderness. And he comes to help us. And look at verse 11. What are we told about him? You are my son whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Finally, there is somebody living in the wilderness who lives the life that we cannot live. Someone that God is pleased with. And he comes. Jesus is good news for people living in the wilderness like us because he comes to help us. Help us out of the wilderness and help us back to God. Help us by coming and bringing us forgiveness of sins that we might come back to God. You see, that, friends, is why Jesus is good news. How does he bring us that forgiveness? That's the question that looms, isn't it? But you've got to remember, you only just opened the book. You know, all good books kind of leave you with a question as they crack open, don't they? And that you've got to read to the end of the book to find out. And here is Jesus, he's come into the wilderness. And how is he going to do it? How is he going to bring us that forgiveness of sins? How is he going to bring us the Holy Spirit who brings us not just forgiveness of sins, but inside change? Well, Mark runs us through his book. If you've ever read the four Gospels, Mark is in a hurry. Okay, if you read Mark, he is just in a hurry. And it's not because he's got somewhere to be, but he skips out the birth story of Jesus. He rushes his story, so he's got much less details than lots of other gospel writers. And he's rushing and he's rushing and he's running and he's running. And where is he running to? Well, when you get to the Easter story, he slows right down. In fact, as we've broken the book up, it takes several chapters, long chapters, just to tell the Easter story. Why? Because he wants to rush you there. How does Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, bring us out of the wilderness, back to God? He does it by going to a cross where he pays for our sins, where he stands shoulder to shoulder with people like us to bring us out of the wilderness back to God. Jesus is life-changing, world-changing good news. And so, friends, this is the last thing I want us to see. Boys and girls, this is the last thing on your sheet. It is good news that demands a response. It's good news. It's good news about Jesus. It's good news for people like us living in the wilderness, but it is good news that demands a response. Have a look at verse 14. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. So Mark, he's got a book. He's announcing good news. But right at the start of the book, you find Jesus going around pronouncing the good news. He's traveling around pronouncing this euangelion, this life-changing, world-transforming piece of news. And what does he say? Look carefully. Verse 15, the time has come. The time has come. God had been promising for a long time to do something into the wilderness of our world, to do something about this mess. And this is it. The time has come. In the coming of Jesus, God is doing something in our world that we should not miss. And this thing that Jesus comes to do demands a response. It demands a response. Did you spot it? Boys and girls, this is on your sheet if you're still scribbling, okay? What does it demand? Anyone spot it there? What does he say? Repent and believe. Can you see that there, verse 15? The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe. To repent means to change your mind. It means to turn around. It means to turn away from something. And what is it that Jesus is calling people to turn away from? He's calling people to turn away from a life that leaves God out. He's calling people to turn away from a life that says, well, I want to do things my way rather than God's way. He's calling people to turn around from a life that fails to trust and love God as he made us to. Repentance means turning away from what we're doing. Repentance means actually admitting that we've done something wrong, which none of us likes to do we? But actually, repentance means saying, God, I've not done this the way you wanted me to. I'm in the wilderness here. I need forgiveness. And we are to believe. What are we to believe? Who is the good news? We're to believe in Jesus. We're to believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, who came into this world in order to bring us out of the wilderness and back to God. That's what we're to do. And it's a call to believe. It's to believe that Jesus changes everything. It's to believe that Jesus can bring us forgiveness for the way that we've lived. That's what Jesus is calling us to. That is the response that this good news announcement demands. Repent and believe. And that's what Jesus went around doing. Have a look at the next stories with me. These are great stories. Look at verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me. That's another way of saying repent and believe. Leave what you're doing and come and follow me. Leave that behind and start listening to me. That's what Jesus is calling us to. That's what this good news announcement of Mark is calling us to do. Repent and believe. Will you do that? Can I ask some of you here, will you do that? Have you done that? This good news announcement of Jesus demands a response. Repent, turn around. Stop doing life the way that you're doing it. And believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. And for those of us here this evening that have done that, for those who've discovered that Jesus is the best news, not the light is on at Krispy Kreme Donuts good news, but life-changing, world-transforming news that makes us leave the wilderness and get back to God. When we've discovered that, what does he want us to do? Well, look again at verse 17. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. I will send you out to fish for people. Can you imagine, friends, if one of us discovered a cure to the coronavirus and we said, right, come on, let's gather in and we'll all have our injections and we'll be cool. Can you imagine how selfish we would be if we kept that to ourselves? And friends, we have been given a piece of news even better than a cure to the coronavirus. We have been given a piece of news that can lead people out of the wilderness of our sins and lead us back to God in forgiveness. And friends, we, those of us who have believed that message, who have heard that message, and pinning our hopes on Jesus, are called to go out and fish with that message, to fish for other people, to say, hey, I've got an announcement for you. I've got some euangelion for you. Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, God in sandals, come into the wilderness to lead us back to God. Will you follow him? The gospel, what we're going to look at in Mark over these coming weeks, is the bait on your hook as you go out into the week and fish for him. Friends, will you do that? Will you go fishing this week? Will you pray that God allows you to share this good news with somebody you meet this week? May God help us as we seek to do that. Friends, Mark's gospel, we're going to spend the next 20, that sounds like a lot of Sunday evenings, but we're going to spend the next 20 Sunday evenings looking at this book together. The gospel of Mark is good news about Jesus, who is for those of us living in the wilderness, and it is news that demands a response, whether that is to believe it or whether it is to go out and fish with it. Either way, we've got to do something with it tonight. May God help us to do that. Let's bow our heads and let's pray together. God, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this book of Mark that announces to us a piece of news that has changed our world. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is the Messiah, the anointed one, the one that you sent into this world to be a king who saves and who leads and who teaches and who sets an example. We thank you that he is your son, come into this world to bring us forgiveness of our sins, to lead us out of the wilderness and back to you. Father, please help us to respond rightly. Please may we repent and believe in Jesus, the good news. And please help us to go out and fish for other people that they might come follow Jesus too. And we ask it in his name. Amen.